Assembly, and I appreciate those who are willing to use it. Amen. Kind of was hoping that I was sitting there in Brother Tim's chair that I might be a little bit better guitar player than I, but I don't think it worked. So, anyway, Brother Tim's one of the best guitar players that I know, and I just, if I could just be maybe a tenth of what he is, then I feel like I'd accomplish something. But everybody's got their own gift. You know, the main thing is just use it. Use it for the Lord. So that's what we want to do. And our sister does have a gift, an anointing that goes with her singing. And so we have just a little bit of ring up here. Just pray that the Lord protect it. Amen. And it always be used to give glory to his name. So we're going to go ahead and open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 6. It's good to have my brother with us tonight in service again. Amen. It was a surprise. Amen. It's a real surprise since just a few years ago I hadn't met him. So the Lord certainly blessed my life whenever he caused me to come to know all my family that I didn't know. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Praise God for that. Mm-hmm. And God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Let's go to St. John chapter 1. We'll read verse 1 through 5 and verse 14. St. John chapter 1. John had a revelation. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In verse 14, and the Word that we just read was in the beginning with God, and was God, and was light. That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. And then we went on to St. John chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. St. John 6, verse 43. Read this last Wednesday. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Just want to pray for a moment, Lord. We just bow our hearts to you now to ask for your blessings upon this little time that we're gathered here, Lord. We pray that you would just multiply the bread as you multiply the fishes, the loaves. We pray, God, that you'd break it to every heart tonight, those present, those that are streaming. We ask, God, that you'd speak to every heart and cause each one to rejoice, Lord, in your word and your promises and your presence today. We ask it in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. So last week I spoke to you about the Father's commandment of the Father. And this week I'm just going to title this, Hearing the Father's Commandment. And so you pray, you pull on the Word, and the sooner that we get into the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the better off we'll all be. Amen. And God's Word is anointed, we know that, so we have no questions there. And so last week I was talking about how Jesus said, He said, the Father loves me because I lay down my life for the sheep, because he's the shepherd of the sheep. Yeah. And he said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. He said, no man takes it from me. I lay it down. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up. And he said, this commandment have I received of my Father. And so Jesus saying there, realizing who he was, realizing that he was the Son of God, because, you know, he was human too, right? And so in his human nature, he had to come to know and understand things. You know, he got hungry, he had to rest, all the things like that, and yet he was God in flesh. Right. And so he had to learn, he had to come to know these things. He had to grow in stature and with favor with God and man. And the scripture said he learned obedience by the things he suffered. This is how much man he was, right? And so he had to come to know these things, and at some point Jesus realized who he was, and he said, I have power to lay this life down, and I have power to take it up again, and I can do that because I received a commandment from my Father.
Right.
Amen? And so we want to kind of talk about that. So the Father's commandment, it's not like the Father says, here's what I want you to do, or here's what I don't want you to do. It's not like that, and then that the Father says can be obeyed or disobeyed. It's a different kind of commandment. Because, of course, God can say, thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that. And people can either obey that or they can disobey that. Right? But we read scriptures here where God said, my word will go out, and it will not return void. It will accomplish. Right? And so that word that goes out, that's a command of the Father. So it's going to go out, and it's going to... And so I believe Jesus, he had caught the revelation of that about himself, that God had committed to him, you can lay yourself down and you can take it up again. I give you that. I command that to you, and I give that to you. And therefore, Jesus, when he caught that understanding, realizing who he was, that he could act out what commandment had been given to him, so he obeyed the Father's command. And in all reality, he couldn't miss it. Right? And so we'll cover that a little bit more so you can understand what I'm getting at. And so it's not like word that can be obeyed or disobeyed, but it's creative word.
Right.
Because we understand that all things were created by the word of God.
Right.
He spoke it. And so we know that. Now, terminology that a lot of you are used to hearing me say and so forth, the attributes of God, the gene of God, or the germ, we might use the word germ of God, not talking about like a germ that makes you sick, but it's just a terminology of like the male seed that comes from a male body. And so God has attributes,
right?
And God has genetics. And if Jesus Christ was the Son of God, then Jesus had in him genetics of his Father, spiritually speaking, right? Because all God created all things natural and typing spiritual. And so Jesus had DNA in him that made, connected him to his Father and made him like his Father, because there was DNA that made that so.
Right?
You follow me? And so Jesus expressed attributes of his Father because of the gene of God that went forth, the seed that went forth from God that made Jesus Christ, made him be what he was. That was a commandment that went forth from the Father that did these things. And so once a Son of God, now Jesus being the Son of God, but realize there are many sons of God and daughters of God.
Right?
And he was not only our Savior, but he was an example for us. He showed us how to overcome.
Right.
He showed us how to live our lives and do the things that we should do. And so just like he had to catch a revelation of who he was and then act it out, and through doing that obedience of acting that out, he went to Calvary and paid the ultimate price that no one could pay except him. What if he hadn't have done that?
Yeah.
Right? But as we're showing you here, that when the word goes out, it has to accomplish. And so when God spoke Jesus Christ, the word, it can't fail. The word cannot fail.
Right.
So it had to accomplish what he sent it out to do. And so once Jesus caught that, then he could say, this that I do, I can do because I have received this as a commandment from my Father. Amen? Then we too, in our own personal walk with God, when God reveals things to us about our own situation, whether it's a trial that you're going through or a ministry that you have or something like that, once you understand that, then you can go forth and know that you have the commandment of the Father to go and do and be what it is that he's called you and sent you to be and to do. So in the natural, there is a natural substance that goes out from a man, you understand what I mean, that goes out, and it's a natural substance, it goes forth, and we call that seed. Right? Seed has to go to a womb, has to go to a fertile womb. But in that seed is DNA. And that DNA dictates what it'll be.
Right.
I don't care what they say nowadays, that people say, well, I'm really not a male, I'm a female, or whatever, whatever. You're what your DNA says you are.
Amen.
And so When in the natural, when that DNA goes out and it may say you're going to have black hair and you're going to be short, or you're going to be tall and blonde or whatever. And so you realize that like a father, that seed went out like a commandment. And it commanded and went out and said, go and be my son and have traits like me and go and do the things that I've ordained you to be. Right?
Yeah.
Now, we don't think about that so much in the natural, but the natural types are spiritual. And so you realize that when the word went out from God, that was genetics. And in that, it would say who Jesus Christ would be and what he would be able to accomplish and what he would do. And because it was God's word, it cannot fail.
Yeah.
So the sons of God can't fail
right.
in being sons of God. We might, now Jesus was without sin, right? We have sin. But there's a part of us that God is speaking to that if we're children of God, there's a DNA that came from him and makes us be what we are, causes us to believe him,
yeah.
causes us to obey him. Okay? And so you realize that with God, his seed is his word.
Right.
That's what went out from him. And you realize
yeah.
a son goes out from a father.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Word goes out from the one who spoke it. And you know, men should be their word. They should be as good as their word. And you've heard that phrase, a man's no better than his word. Right? If a man says something, he should do it.
Right.
Because our Father's like that. Our Heavenly Father's like that. He speaks and he carries out. His word carries out and does what he says it's going to do. And so we realize that God's word is his seed. And that's what goes forth. And that's what creates and does the things that it does.
Right.
And so faith in that word, now speaking of the word going out and becoming Jesus Christ, but God has spoken to us. And so faith in the word that has been spoken to us, the scripture tells us, if she'll pull up Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
So God may tell you, you know what, you're going to get a new car. Let's just use that and make it where it's easy to understand. If you hear that, you believe that, and you actually have faith in what you've heard, if that real substance faith is there, then that car is as good as there.
Right.
So that faith becomes a substance of something you don't even see yet, but because it's a law of God, that if you have faith, you're going to get what you have faith for.
Right?
Right? And so faith in the word, that is substance and it is evidence.
Right.
But you know, the word, the faith that we have, the word is the object that we have faith in.
Right.
You have to have faith in something. It can't just be anything. And so what our faith is in the promise of God and what God has said, what he has spoken. That is what our faith rests upon or acts upon. So that, you know, as we said, faith is an evidence, substance of things hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. But it's the faith that acts upon the word, and the word is what creates, and the word is what brings to pass. Because what scripture tells us, that all things were made by the word, is all things made by him and for him.
Yeah.
And so it's that word that accomplishes these things. And so whenever that word comes forth, like a seed, because it is a seed. Jesus even talks about being seed,
yeah.
wheat seed and the different things. That word, when it comes forth, it has to come to a womb. Right? It has to come to the female part. And we know the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. We are members of the bride of Jesus Christ, which make us members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
So the word goes forth and it has to go to a womb, and our faith in that word is the womb that word can come to and develop in.
Mm-hmm.
When we believe it. And so the word comes in, and through a faithful heart, it can materialize and make what God has said and sent it to be. And so, as we said a while ago, reading, God said, "My word will not come back void.
Right.
It'll come. It will come. It will accomplish that which He sent it to." So, like I said a while ago, you can say, "Well, thou shalt not, and thou, you know, do this and do that," and that can be obeyed or disobeyed. But this is a different kind of commandment. This is a creative word that goes forth that cannot fail, has to come to pass. And He has spoken that, sending us forth as sons and daughters of God, just like He sent Jesus Christ forth.
Right.
You know, the scripture tells us that He was the firstborn among many brethren. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the first begotten of the dead, because there's going to be more.
Yeah.
Right? These are scriptures I'm quoting you. And so the letter, you know, the scriptures tell us the letter of the word, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. And what they're saying is, you know, there is a Holy Spirit that matches this word.
Right.
The Holy Spirit matches this word. He is the Spirit of truth, and this is the truth. So there's a spirit form of the word, and then there's the letter of the word. And when we try to live and obey the word in letter form without the Holy Spirit, it killeth.
Right.
Because you can't live it. Yeah. You can't do it. It takes an experience of God in you to bring the grace and bring you to the place where you can live the word. And that's why the scripture said the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we try to live, thou shalt not do this and do that, and we do it from a letter form, we fail miserably. I can tell you, you know, people say, you know, like me, I smoked. But when the Lord got a hold of me, it was no longer a problem.
Right.
I got rid of it. Yeah. Prior to that, I couldn't get rid of it. Mm-hmm. But you understand what I'm saying? The knowing something is, you know, and try, that doesn't work. But it takes an experience with the Lord, which can quicken that word in you,
yeah.
And then you live it. And it's no longer a problem because now it's not you living it, but it's the Holy Spirit that has come in is living it through you.
Right.
Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit coming in and living through you. And so you can have word, letter of the word, do's and don'ts, try to live it that way. That doesn't work. It can be obeyed. It can be disobeyed. The scripture tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Right.
That's in Hebrews 1. Without faith. But faith has to have something that it's faith in. And it's faith in the promises of God. Mm-hmm. I hear people say, "You've got to have faith in me." You know, that's really misplaced. You don't have faith in a person because people, we all fail.
Yeah.
But ultimately, faith can only be put in the one who has spoken His word that cannot fail, and that's the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so failures, do's and don'ts and all that, we can hear the word, the letter. You can hear the preacher saying, and it can be just the letter version of that. And all that does is just kill if you try to go out there and live according to that. But once you catch a revelation, once the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you and He reveals to you that word, that's a different commandment.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a difference. You know, Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath," that's present tense, "hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's an exact quote, right? Now you can say to a drunkard, "Did you hear what the preacher said? Did you hear that?" Yeah, I heard it. That don't mean he's saved. But when the Holy Spirit moves upon a man, and now you hear that word in the presence of that, and it speaks to you, that's got life-changing power.
Right.
And when that happens, you've passed from death unto life, yeah. According to that scripture. "He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
Yeah.
Amen. That's the kind of thing I want. You know, in the world, everybody wants some sure thing. But there's only one sure thing. And this is it.
Amen.
It's God's promises. That fighting that's going on over there right now is just simply because people will not accept what God has given.
Right.
That natural land over there to Israel, that's their promised land. Well, you know, for us Gentiles, God gave us a promise, and it was a promise of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right. It was the promise of a new birth.
Yeah.
So our promised land that God said we could have is we can have an overcoming life in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Right? That's our promised land. God told them they could have that land. But the rest of the world don't want that. The rest of the world wants to tell Israel, you can't have this that God has promised you. Just like the rest of the world tells us, you can't have an overcoming life in Christ.
Yeah.
But we can.
That's right.
See? And they can do all they want to try and do to take that away from Israel. They're not going to do it. There might be fighting and all kinds of things like that, just like we have fights and struggles in our spiritual walk. But there's not one thing that the world can do to take that away from them completely, and he can't take away our experience of God in our lives.
Amen.
Because natural type spiritual. So they can make all, you know, it's like, you know what? You might just need to go ahead and accept what the situation is, because Israel's not really occupying all of what God gave them yet.
Yeah.
And if they go ahead and take the rest of it, I'm pretty sure they'd be mad.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, it's not something man's doing. It's something God has done. And God said long time ago in his word that he would make Jerusalem a burdensome stone.
Right.
The whole world. And every few years, every time you turn around, everything, the whole world, their eyes looking upon Jerusalem. And it's been that way over and over and over. And all the infidels out here deny the word, but they don't realize that right there is proof that God has got his hand on that people. But that's a natural type of spiritual that God's got his hand on us.
Yeah.
That we will have the promise of the Holy Ghost. We will have overcoming power. We will be that people that God said we can be. Even though they try to stop us, God will never forsake his people.
Yeah.
He'll never forsake. Let me put it this way. He'll never forsake his promise.
Yeah.
Amen.
His word.
Amen.
He'll never forsake his word. And so, you know, there's rhema word, which like we talk about, just, you know, the letter and so forth. But then there's logos. And when the scripture said in the beginning was the word and the word was with God, it was in the beginning was the logos, if you look at it.
Right.
And logos is not just the word that's spoken, but it's the thought that went with it. Because I have said this many times, I can say to you, I can tell you something and it be rhema. And you might walk away with the wrong idea of what I'm talking about. But if I speak to you logos, then you go away with what I've said and the understanding of what it means. And so when God spoke, what went forth was the word, was the logos, not just the letter of the word, not just the intellect of the word, but the spirit behind it went forth. And that's what God creates with. That's what a real experience of God is. It's not just the letter of the word, but it's quickening power that comes upon a person to reveal, and you know those words are right, and it inspires you. Right? And if it's the Holy Spirit, it will never be something contrary to the Bible. It will only quicken this, because this is the letter form of what that Spirit is. It's like this is the body that Holy Spirit lives in.
Yeah.
Right?
And so if the Holy Spirit's got a right arm, there's a right arm to the Word that He fits in.
Mm-hmm.
Every portion of this Bible is quickened by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. We know that that's what the Scripture tells us.
Right.
And so, you can have the letter, but once you catch the logos, the true understanding, nothing will take that away from you. Because that's the commandment from the Father that you now have heard, and that's the creative force that has been spoken into your life. It's telling you who you are and what you can be, and once you catch that, you can go be exactly what God said you can do and be, and nothing can stop that.
Right.
Amen? That's why every preacher who feels a call to minister the Word of God, he has to come to a place where it's revealed to him, a sacred place with the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, whatever, however you want to describe it, to where he knows that God has sent him with a message. And so when that happens, he won't be sitting around fumbling and talking about this and trying to mix all the world with it. He'll have a message from the Word of God
right, for
the people. Amen? And we know that's exactly the way it works. And so the Logos is a creative word. And once you receive that revelation by faith, That's the kind of commandment I'm talking about when we hear the Father's commandment.
Right.
And it's personal. Because I'm a son of God, you're a son of God, you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God. That means there's genetic, went from him to you, you are his child, and he wants you to know who he is because he knows who you are.
Right.
No question about that. And so, once you have that revelation, then you can say, as a believer, then you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
How many have heard that phrase? People say, oh, I can do all things through Christ. But if you say that just in a letter form, just in the letter, of because it says it, means nothing. But once that inspiration comes of the Holy Spirit, now you know who you are. You know God has sent you for to be his child. Now you can say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Let me say it this way. I can do all things through the Word that strengthens me. Let me say it another way. I can do all things through the gene that God has sent to me to make me be what I am. I can do. Why? Because it's my Father's genetics that tells that says that I can lift my arms. I can have arms and I can wave them. The gene of my Father told me I could do that.
Right.
Right? And so I can do all things through Christ, the Word, the gene of God, the message of God, the command of God. I can do all things that he sent me to do through that, which is Christ. Right? The Word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. When you get that revelation of who you are, that's the commandment that you can go forth and manifest. So now, in that scripture of St. John chapter 6, verse 45, we know that not all people are saved, but all of God's people are.
Yeah.
All those that he knew, put their names in the book of life, whatever. So, now look at this scripture. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be, not all people, but all of God's people.
Right.
Okay? They shall all be taught of God. God's going to speak to them and teach them and make them to understand. And so Jesus said, every man, therefore, that hath heard, every man that hath heard the Father and learned from the Father, what does it do in their life? It causes them to come. He says, cometh unto me.
Right.
Now let me say it this way. I've always looked, until today, I've always looked at this, that everyone that has learned and heard of the Father will come and will believe on Jesus. Believe and accept that gospel. And that's true. But he's the Word made manifest.
Right.
And if God has spoken to us and he's spoken word to us to make us be sons and daughters of God, then we must come to Christ.
Right.
We must come to that manifestation, which is Christ. Not just coming to him as a believer, but we come to the stature of living Christ
right.
to the world.
Yeah.
See? If you hear that commandment and you hear from the Father, it'll do something in you and you will come to that manifestation
Amen.
Of being Christ yourself, him living through you. Not to make you a false Jesus,
right.
but to make you a living person, living the Word of God in your day, him Christ living in you.
Amen.
Amen. And it makes a lot of difference in a person's life.
Amen.
That's the Father's commandment when I was preaching about last week. The Father's commandment, and now this weekend, hearing that Father's commandment makes all the difference in the world. Let me end by saying this. We're all familiar with this story there in Matthew where Jesus said to the disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? Now, who was he? Right? He was the Word.
Right.
In the beginning was with God, was God, and then he came flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So he was the Word made flesh. He was what God had spoken to come to pass in that day. He was there and it was coming to pass.
Yeah.
And people had to look at that and they had to determine, what is that I'm looking at? So Jesus asked them. Here he is, he's standing there, the Word made flesh. And everything that God said would happen that would bring redemption for us, he was acting it out. And he was standing there doing that. And so he says to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, the disciples, they said, well, some say that you're this or that, or you're one of the prophets, or you're different ones, whatever. But Jesus made it personal. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, who do men say, right? Well, some, no, but he said, but who do you say? Because this is the thing. You have to know he's your Messiah.
Right.
You have to know God as your Father. And so that's why I said last week, many times Jesus wouldn't answer their questions. He wouldn't answer them point blank. He would answer it with a parable, because he knows that the only way they can be there is when they catch the revelation of the word, not just it being plainly spoken and saying. That's why when the book was opened, the seals, and we understand that the names of those written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and because that wasn't opened, then John was weeping. And so then the seals got opened, and when we understand what came forth out of the opening of the seals, it was not Mary Shondrico, you're a child of God, or any of the rest. That's not it. But it was a life.
Yeah.
It was a record of how we responded to the word through the ages.
Right.
That's what calls your name. So that's really who you are, is how you respond to this word, to this commandment of God. And that's who you are in God's economy.
Right.
When we say a name, we think, oh, well, that's the person that he lives here, looks like he does. You're thinking of what he lives. I mean, there's a name attached to it. And so when God opened the book, he didn't just call the names, he called the life.
Yeah. Right.
And began to show us what the true believer was through the ages. That's him reaching back and doing that. And so Jesus says, who do men say that I am the Son of Man? And they say some this, some that. But he said, who do you say? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Now here's the punchline to the whole thing. Jesus said to Peter, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, that was his name, Peter, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you. When Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, nobody told you that. No flesh came and told you. Even my flesh didn't come and tell you that. How did you get it? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed that to you.
Right.
And upon this rock, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now think about it. The Catholic Church says he built it on Peter. We can read in the scriptures that after this, Peter was in the wrong and had to be rebuked.
Right.
And God can't build it upon a man. The failures of man. But if you look at the concept there, he's telling us, listen, my Father has revealed this to you. My Father has revealed to you who I am.
Right.
My Father has revealed to you what the living word is for the hour. Their hour. And upon this rock, because the rock in the scriptures is revelation. Remember Jesus tells the parables. He said that he that hears these words of mine and he obeys them or whatever, he's like a man that builds his house on rock.
Right.
And the floods come and all that, and the house is okay. But if a man will not obey the words and not listen to that, it's like a man builds his house on sand. And when the storms come, it sweeps the house away. So rock is a good foundation. Right? That's why when it talks about in Revelation 17 about the whore church, they the bottomless pit, because they have no foundation. They have no word foundation for their teaching. Right?
Yeah.
But Jesus is there and he's saying to them, Peter, my Father in heaven has revealed this to you, and upon this rock, this concept, that once you hear from the Father the truth about the Word made manifest, the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. Satan wants to bind you, but he can't bind you when you have a revelation of the Word of God.
Amen.
He can't do it. And so when Jesus says that, my Father has revealed to you who I am. But it's not just Because that was the Word made flesh. And what I want to show you is that God desires for His commandment about you to live today, the Word made flesh in you, that you would manifest His Word. And that's the same thing as Jesus. So once you catch a revelation in your day of the Word for your day, then gates of hell cannot prevail against that. And what if that Word is about you? It's your own walk that God has spoken to you and told you, you're my child. Then Satan can't do anything with it.
Right.
And that's where we all come to. That's why we have so many different churches, so many denominations, so many different teachings. They disagree with all that, but there's one thing about it. The Holy Spirit quickens the Word. Yeah. He's not confused. And once people get to that place where they catch the Holy Spirit revelation behind it, then the confusion all goes away. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's the Father's commandment. I could go on and on because I'm the minister. You get inspired. You can preach all night. But I'm not going to. Amen? That's the commandment from the Father that we're talking about. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this little time to be here. We pray, God, just also now as we think of Brother Daniel, that you just go to him now. And whatever it is, we're just committing it to you. We send forth your presence and your blessing and your creative power and your healing power to him now, Lord. Just asking that you just change that situation and make it all well. We love our brother. We just pray that you restore him. We thank you, Lord, for this little time together. We ask that these words would just resonate in the hearts of your people, that if they go from here, they would think of these things, meditate upon them. May they think about them on their bed at night as they're laying there. Lord, may you just, as you promised that you would bring to remembrance the things that you have spoken. And tonight, Lord, I believe under your inspiration, I have spoken to them things from your word. I pray, God, that in the time that they need it, Lord, that you would cause them to remember these things, and that would help them in the time of need and in the time that they desire to have a closer walk with you, that these things would come to mind. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As usual, we try to sing a song before we go. We love the Lord.
Amen.
We know His Word is perfect.
Amen.
No question about that. Amen.
There is no one else like you. Amen.